In Yemen, thousands of protesters took to the streets today, a day after the president and the rest of his government resigned in a standoff with rebels. Yemen's last government was overthrown in the Arab Spring of 2011, and the president who was ousted back then may now return to power. Either way, the ouster of the government yesterday deals another blow to the Arab Spring movement in the Middle East, almost 4 years to the day after the first street protest started in Cairo, Egypt, which came just days after Tunisians ousted their longtime leader. Fawaz Jerjes is professor of international relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science and author of The New Middle East, Protest and Revolution in the Arab World. He joins us via Skype. Fawaz, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, was the Arab Spring a failure?
Well, I think if you look at the Arab Spring in terms of an instant delivery of results, it has been a failure. But the Arab Spring uprisings is a historical process, a process of accumulation, a process that has witnessed major social and political struggles. We're talking about a matter of years, a matter of decades, not a matter of 3 or 4 years. In comparative historical terms, what's happening in the Arab world is quite very natural. What you have is that the ouster of authoritarian regimes has unleashed different competing social and political forces. And it's going to take some time, probably 5 or 10 years, for the dust to settle on the battlefield, because the struggle in the Arab world, whether you're talking about Syria or Iraq or Tunisia or Yemen or Bahrain, it's a struggle about the identity of the state. It's a struggle about what kind of constitutions these Arab states should have. It's a struggle about what kind of the role of the sacred in the political process, the role of minorities. There is no consensus among the leading social and political forces in the region, because for the last 50 or 60 years, authoritarianism was the dominant force and civil societies were suppressed by military-based regimes, and that's why the turmoil, and that's why the fierce social and political and military struggles that we have witnessed in the last 4 years or so.
But if you look at the Arab Spring countries and you see Tunisia, it has been somewhat of a success story. It recently held its first free elections. But then Egypt has gone back to a military-backed government. Syria, as we say, is in civil war. Libya is a mess. Protests in Bahrain were squashed by Saudi Arabia. Are you ever going to have a moment again where the people of some of these countries are willing to rise up against their government to demand what they want in their representation when you see that every time, with one exception now, Tunisia, that every time they overthrew the government and put in a different person, that fell apart?
Well, look, there is no going back in the Arab Middle East. Setbacks are to be expected. Counter-revolutionary forces are doing their best to return to the old order. But what has happened is that the psychology and the mood of the Arab people have changed. What you have in Syria, I mean, think what Assad has done in the last 3 years and a half or so. Despite everything that Assad has done, the people are still revolting against the system. In Tunisia, after 2-3 years, a fierce social and political struggle, a relative consensus has emerged. Egypt is in the grip of a major battle between the Islamists on the one hand and the nationalist forces led by the military. But if the new government, if the new regime in Egypt does not deliver in 1 or 2 years, don't be shocked if you witness another major wave of protests. And yes, in the meantime, in the short term and midterm, we are to expect a great social and political upheaval. Other societies in a similar historical situation did go through a similar process. All I am saying, it's what's happening in the region is not unique. What we are witnessing is basically painful birth banks. These are the painful birth banks of societies that are trying to overcome years and decades of authoritarianism and autocracy.
How do you think the U.S. handled the situation? Is there anything the U.S. could have done differently to support some of these new governments? And we look right at Yemen, where the U.S. was backing the government that just collapsed yesterday.
it's not just the United States of America, it's also the international community. The international community, whether we're talking about the European Union or the United States, did not invest any major political and military and material, basically, capital in trying to help transitioning Arab societies. The United States was very much preoccupied with its economic crisis. Europe is inward looking. Yes, the United States invested a bit of political capital in Yemen, trying to really help the transition from the authoritarian regime of Ali Abdullah Saleh to the current regime. But Yemen has many problems, as you know. And to say that the United States could have really made a difference in Yemen is to underestimate the complexity, even though I would argue that the intervention of the international community on the side of Arab society could have basically helped Arab societies make the transition in a much healthier and less violent means than what we have witnessed so far in the last 4 years.
That's Fawaz Jerjes, a professor of international relations at the London School of Economics and author of The New Middle East, Protest and Revolution in the Arab World. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.